there. So I never even thought about going back to the Old Testament, that these things that he was talking about is talking about Old Testament events. Okay, but he's trying to get a point across. He's trying to get a point across as to how these three particular judgments that he's going to be talking about. Three particular judgments. Let's just read again verse 1 of chapter 2. But false prophets also rose among you, among the people. That was back in Moses' day. Just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly, okay, stoutly introduce bad stuff, brethren. Okay? They don't, you know, false teachers and prophets, they don't come in and make it look completely obvious that they go wrong. They know how to bring it in. You have to have a certain amount of truth in any religion to be somewhat believable, but distorted. But distorted. Well, with that in mind, I didn't think about it. I'm going to read you something real quick in Galatians with that word distorted. In Galatians chapter 1, I believe. Yeah, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Here Paul is just blown out of his mind. He says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by grace, by the grace of Christ, for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you, okay, and want to distort the gospel of Christ. They want to distort. So, how do you distort it? You salt and pepper it a little bit here and there. Okay? You don't make it look so obvious. There's some things that people will not accept. It's just way out. That's even beyond human reasoning. So you have to have a certain amount of truth in every religion in order to make it work. Okay, we have a lot of distortion as far as other religions with the idea of the flood. Huh? There's a lot of craziness. Muhammad had his idea of it. Roman Catholicism had their idea on it. And all kind of false religion back in the Old Testament distorted the event of the flood. And it becomes more like mythology. Becomes more like mythology. So people hear that. Well, to give you an example, when me and my mother-in-law were sitting there the day after she was saved, we were talking about various things. And one of the things she told me, how she interpreted, this is what she learned when she was a Catholic. And she said, well, when Jesus was on the cross, the soldier came and he stabbed him in the heart. And when he stabbed him in the heart, the blood came out of him and he was dead, and then the blood went on his eyes and he came alive and he woke up. Well, that is the idea that she had learned. Okay, I've heard a lot of craziness with my grandma, my grandpa, and I've heard a lot of Azteca ideas about religion. There's way out there, brother. They look at the moon as a lesser god and the sun as a greater god, you know, and they make all that. We talk about what the eclipse and how they interpreted that movie we watched, the Maya. And the topic is, remember?
Yeah.
How did you explain it?
Okay.
Yeah, when the eclipse went over, according to the Maya ideology, that it was something that the gods were angry with them. They cut the sun off of them. But once it passed, that the gods were happy. That's Azteca mythology. Yeah, he didn't do it. Because the sun went by and so they didn't kill no more. They were killing these people trying to appease their God. That's mythology, brother. That's false religion. That's distortion of God's eternal purpose. I can imagine what God thinks, man, when he's seen all this madness going on for, what, 9,000-10,000 years now that we've been on planet Earth. Yeah.
And he also directed that movie.
Is that right? So there's a lot out there, brother. But right here, when we talk about distortion, that's exactly what's going on. With these false prophets and false teachers and false apostles, they just distort and keep on distorting. But it's a dangerous thing to do. And those people that distort the gospel and lead people astray from the true, simple salvation by grace, they're going to have the hottest place in hell because they have led so many people astray. I'm talking millions, brother, over the course of time. Millions have been led astray. And I was reading in Revelation about the revised Babylonian Empire. Okay, we're not talking about the old Babylonian, we're talking about something else different. This is the religious leaders of today that are here today. Some of these mega churches that are false, like Catholic, Mormonism, and all that. Okay, but Catholic being the number one, you know, my deal does work, you know. I just wasn't pressing hard enough.
Yeah, I checked it this morning. It was.
Yeah, I tried it the other day. I said, man, I didn't have no strength. But this monstrosity right here, Roman Catholicism, hierarchy, Catholicism, and from here, of course, we see all this trace of line. And look at all the religion that sprouted out from this line here. It all goes back to her. All go back to her. So when you read the book of Revelation, it talks about her and all her sisters. And all those have got on the bandwagon with her. They got rich and wealthy over their religious ideologies. And then we're going to read in here somewhere about becoming merchandise to these false prophets because they're looking for something to gain approval, to gain credit, to be number one, you know, and at the same time getting rich off of it. There's a lot of people out there in false religion that's teaching all kind of madness, but it's appeasing to the people that are hearing them. You might want to go to those therapist groups where they try to get you to feel better about yourself. That's all it is, brother. That's not what the Lord's churches are about. I'm not here trying to make you feel good before you can come in and have a little psychological evaluation. I'm here to instruct you. Jim's here to instruct us. Okay? And sometimes the Bible doesn't make us feel good. Sometimes the Holy Spirit convicts us whenever Jim is talking, because we all listen to the preaching and the teaching. And if there's anything within that service that maybe hits you right between the eyes, it's a time of repentance. Okay? We don't become like the one in Timothy, remember? Itch ears. Just tell me how pretty I am. How nice of a person I am. Compliments. It depends who's giving me a compliment. It means anything to me. Because there's certain men that don't compliment just to compliment. They're going to tell you. And I have preachers that were very adamant. But I trust their honesty. I trusted their honesty. Because it might be something that I do not see. Maybe I got a personal opinion of myself. I think I'm a pretty good old Joe, you know? Because, well, look what I've done. Maybe Job was doing that, you know? Look at all the things I've done. Lord, why are you sending all this on top of me? And then one of his words in all that reading, he says, the thing I dreaded the most has come upon me. And what do you think that was? What do we all dread?
Pain.
Pain or health going south on us. Our health going south on us. There can be a lot of various reasons for that, but when God permits it and allows it, if we just living recklessly, you know, eating recklessly and just, well, you're going to get exactly what you give that body, because that body's going to turn on you one of these days. Well, I did the same thing until I got in my mid-50s and I started seeing little small red flags coming up, and it scared me. I wasn't being a very good steward of my body. I wasn't. Okay. Who are we at? Okay. In verse 2, see, many, back in 2 Peter, he says, many will follow their sensuality. Okay, you're talking about immorality. I mean, they had it going on in these churches back in that period of time. There was a lot of immorality going on in the church of Corinth, huh? One in particular incident that God decided to put down for us to see the filth that was going on within that church, you know? But that was what they were accustomed to practicing, immorality, under the banner of Christianity. I use that word just for lack of another word that I need. But they had the temple prostitutes. You'd be surprised how many of that goes on in our religions of today. When I was studying Roman Catholicism years ago, I read a lot of things, and boy, that's a filthy religion, brother. Documented, factual statements written down and recorded where the priests and the nuns were cohabiting with each other, so much for, celibacy. They found a lot of discarded embryos aborting their children, and yet having the facade, you know, wearing all the clothing and the robes and all that. That doesn't mean anything to me, brother. That doesn't mean nothing. A robe and all the apparel does not prove anything as far as you being righteous. How do we prove our righteousness towards God? How we live.
How we clothes.
Huh?
Our spiritual clothes.
Yeah, our spiritual clothes from within, huh? Mm-hmm. It's the inner person that God looks at.
Did you see Lily's funeral? Mm-hmm. He had that robe, real nice. I'd imagine how much it cost to pay for that nice material. You know.
But that makes them look holy from the outside. They're no different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Remember how they used to get dressed? The lengthier their tassels made them more, he must really be a strong spiritual man. Look at that, it's long. He almost got a chain going on.
Yeah. Anyway, it was hot that day. It was 100 something, we're outside, burial. And then he just did all his Hail Mary and all this stuff. And then he just ran to his car. And then that's
really crazy.
He went to his priestmobile.
His what?
His priestmobile.
Priestmobile.
It was hot. He had that robe on. I'm sure he was praying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they love the pomp, brother. They love the pomp. That don't mean nothing to me, brother. It doesn't prove anything. It's just what you call your self-righteous apparel. That's all it is. Well, when they go, these people like that dime, they're going out of here naked. They ain't going to have no robes where they're going. They're going to be stripped, not only of everything they ever worked or think that they earned it. No, it's not going to work. So many, I'm going to read here from the language here in 2 and 2. It says, Kai and the many. Okay, they shall follow after. They shall follow after following of the disciple of people that are just going to. These type of disciples are not what we would call, the way we define the word disciple, an habitual learner, learning how to live a righteous life. These disciples, these followers that these people are becoming, okay, they get them to follow after them. Okay, but they become citizens of hell, brother. Citizens of hell. In the process of living a somewhat righteous life, in the last days, people will hang on to a form of religion, but denying the power thereof. A form. Well, we can probably say there's a lot of people in our churches that are living a form of Christian apparel or outward facade. When you get church members sleeping and going to sleep while the preacher is preaching and teaching his heart out, and they fall asleep?
Or texting?
Sometimes I always say, Lord, if there's a time that you need to zap some people, this is the time to do it. Because in the Old Testament, it was very strict. A lot of things that we do today in our churches were punishable by death in the Old Testament. Hebrews the 10th chapter talks specifically about that. That if you forsake the assembling of yourself, that has become a habit of some. Okay, in the Old Testament, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, they would be put to death. That's how serious it was. When God had that tabernacle in the wilderness, they were required to come, you know, at a certain time with a certain sacrifice. They had to do everything right. And if they didn't come at all, what's going to happen? Where is it? Right here. When all this is said and done, there's going to be a requirement from God in the millennial age, that 1,000-year rule, there's going to be a requirement of all nations all over the world that they're going to have to do what? If they want rain, they're going to have to do what? They're going to have to come to Jerusalem. Because there, God is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years with Ezekiel, Moses, David. I always call that the Lord the president, and that his administrators. Okay, that's his cabinet. And he picked these individuals. Because the Bible says in Matthew that many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham and Moses and the Lord himself. Okay? And they're not going to be out there saying, do you know the Lord? They're going to know. So one day they're going to be required of all the nations of the world to come to Jerusalem. If they got to make, like to do the Mecca pilgrimage, they're going to have to do that. People say, well, what if people can't afford it? Look, during the millennial age, it's going to be one of the greatest last ages in time and space. There's going to be plenty of jobs. The economy is going to be working like it's supposed to work. People are going to be at work. The poor are going to be taken care of like it was supposed to be in the Old Testament, you know? It's going to be wonderful, brother. God's going to show his whole plan, economy, and whatever you want to call it, could have worked all along, all the way from back here. But he's going to prove it right here. It's going to be the best economical world system ever before, because God is sitting on the throne. He's running the government of the world now through David and all them. Okay, so he's going to have some pretty good guys working for him, you know. Okay, and so I guess it's, and the many, they shall follow after, and following the disciples, and it goes on and on. Of them, okay, talking about them, talking about those disciples that are following after falsehood, okay? Following these so-called pseudo, remember I named all of them teachers, prophets, and apostles. The unbridled lust. Unbridled lust. Well, I remember, you know, horses, they have their bridles and all that, you know, okay? And that's to control them. I think I told you the story, you probably heard it. When I was telling Jim, I said, I remember when I went to, used to go to Ragsdale, that was called Ragsdale, that you could go there and rent horses, you know. When they put me on this horse, name was Sailor, okay? So I get on. And she gave me a few instructions. You pull back, it does this. You pull this way, it goes that way, and blah, blah, blah. So she gave me some instructions as to how to control the horse. And she gave me the reins, you know. And then she just kind of softly tapped the horse in the rump, and he took off. Well, when he took off, I went like that, and I dropped the reins, and I was hanging on to the horn of the saddle. And I was hanging on, boy. And he was just, I mean, he was at high gallop. He went all the way down Quantico, all the way to Potomac Street, and made a U-turn right in the intersection. Could you imagine, in the middle of the block? Here we got three ways, you know. Lucky there were no cars there, you know. And he makes his wide U-turn. Then he just jammed all the way back and went right into the stall. And I says, man, I love. And the lady came out there yelling at me. He said, you were pulling the reins. I said, lady, I said, when you hit that horse, I lost the reins. I had no control of that horse. I was hanging on for dear life. So, you got another horse? I still wanted to go for my ride. I paid for my ride for an hour. So, he gave me an old brownie. Oh my goodness, I think if I didn't have hemorrhoids, I think I had them that day. He was a gallop. You know, old sailor, it was a smooth ride, but it was fast. Brownie, man, all I did, you know, is the ants are passing me. Just like that movie. But that's what it means. Unbridled, unleashed, okay? Uncontrollable lust, burning desire. That's what all these mean, okay? And it's the first person plural, for themselves, future indicative active, okay? And it goes on, of whom the way of the truth, it shall be blasphemed. Blasphemed. And that's what people are doing today, brother. They're blaspheming the word of God, teaching something completely contrary to the scriptures, okay? And I'm looking for my word here. I read all that. Yeah, sensuality. Everyone is doing it. But believe it or not, there's religions that they practice sexuality, immorality, under a certain religious ideology. But there's still religions of today doing that. And I just mentioned Roman Catholicism. I mean, they're full of a lot of people with some strange ideas. This thing, this celibacy craziness, it goes contrary to the nature of man and woman. Okay, how do you, you know, try to keep yourself in control? What if the Bible says the reason why you should marry? Yeah. So you don't burn with what?
Passion.
Sexual desire. That's why God said if you can't control it, get married. Because you're headed towards in the wrong direction. But we live in a society today that immorality is almost a lifestyle. Everybody's doing it. That's what I wrote there. I said, what's the problem, Ray? Everybody's doing it. So that makes it okay? So you can just go out there and have one affair, what, every other month maybe, and it's okay? Immorality is a stench in God's nostril. Nobody outside of marriage has a right to practice anything that marital couples do. Those are the privileges you get by committing one with each other. Okay? That's how you are able to practice these kind of things. And that means something to the Lord. And we know why God gave us this ability to attract one another. For what? Productivity? Is that the right word?
Procreate.
That's the one I was thinking about. To procreate. Okay, so that's why God gave us that ability to do so. But you got to be in the right position to be able to exercise that right, you know. You just can't be doing your own thing, I think, because you can see the things that are going on in this country, you know. You know, adultery, committing adultery. They're burning with passion, and they're married.
I told you about the open marriage, remember?
Oh, yeah.
A friend of mine. Yeah,
I remember I said that at the chiropractor. That's what I thought about it. I said, man, I shouldn't have said that. I said, it depends on how they interpret what I just said. You know, because I got that from Marie Barone, you know, and she says, well, don't you go out without Frank? I said, no, that's open marriage. That's escape. So now that you're without your partnering up with anybody, I just need to get out of the house, that crazy man. So that's what I meant. I hope they didn't misinterpret me then. Yeah, because I told him, you know, because she was paying for hers and I was paying for mine. Okay? He said, so you're going to pay for your own and she's paying for hers. Yeah, that's an open marriage. That's what I was interpreting. That's what I was interpreting, you know.
I just shook my hand and
didn't even say anything. My wife just walks away.
I don't know this man.
I don't know this guy, man. Oh, my goodness. So unbridled lust, that's not per se a good thing. Okay, we talked about these false teachers and all these things, you know. Remember, we talked a little bit about New Lightism. Okay? It's another form of leading astray, the unstable. Somebody read 2 Peter 3 and 14. This is what happens when people go astray. they listen to a lot of madness. There's a reason for that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14.
So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him.
What verse did I tell you? Keep reading all the way down to verse 16.
Okay. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction.
See? What does it say there? It says, untaught, unstable, distort, as they do all the rest of the scriptures, to their own damnation or destruction. And that's what heresy is about, brother. It's destruction. It can cost you all for all eternity. And you can end up in a place that you don't want to be. Oops, got the light going the other way. Right here. This is what destruction of and heresy will bring you to this point called the lake of fire. In the Greek, what is the word lake of fire in Greek? I know you guys heard it before.
Gehenna.
It's called the garbage pit. The garbage pit. Now that I'm remembering, I want to hand you out this because we might want to use this later on.
It kind of reminds me of the compost because the compost gets real hot inside of the in the middle of it. Our neighbor
had
a compost pile on fire.
See the word Gehenna? What does it say there?
Fire, valley of garbage, hell.
Yeah, or hell. So the Jews, when they go out and discard and want to burn things out and just completely burn it up, and it was always...